I thought I was over my flu, but I still have this lingering, I know, it was unproductive until this morning, right now. It's being productive now, which is not good. Unproductive cough, and it lingers. It lingers. So if you're just sitting there, pray for me, please. Welcome to those of you who don't know me. My name is Michael. Welcome to Honeywood Community Church. It's great to have you with us. And we're going to continue with our series, A Prayer for Life, with the title, Intimacy. Intimacy. Now, I want to take a moment to look back. When we commenced this series, we started with this series saying that prayer is a gift from God. It's an absolute gift to us from God, that our God, the creator of the universe, would welcome and invite us to converse with him. No matter what season of life or how far we are along our faith journey, he invites us. It's an opportunity to sit with him, to talk with him, to be in his presence, get to know him and get to be known by him. It's an amazing privilege. I don't know why we don't do it so often. I don't, not enough. I just love to be in his presence. Not enough. We have life. We have business life, raising kids, going to school. We have work. We have all these things. But when we started, we said, in all those things, we can still be in the presence of God to commune with him, to talk with him. So I want to encourage us to keep doing that. Keep doing that. And as we keep doing that, we place ourselves in his presence to commune with him. Our relationship with God himself will deepen, and he will take us from a shallow, casual understanding of one another to a more deep, intimate place with God. So here's a question that I want to start with today. How intimate are you with God? How intimate are you with God? Or what is your intimacy level with God? Now, some of you there might be thinking, oh, this is a little bit awkward. This question is a little bit awkward because over time, the word intimacy has been used more often to mean sexual intercourse. Right? The world has turned the word around to mean sexual intercourse, but intimacy does not mean sex. Now, since I've got your attention now, right, let me share the meaning of intimacy in this way. The meaning of intimacy is an emotional connection of closeness and belonging that we have in our personal relationships based on our knowledge of each other and shared experiences. Simply put, intimacy is a personal relationship. It's a personal relationship on all levels of engagement. Right? On all levels of engagement. It's emotional, it's physical, it's experiential, based on the knowledge of the other. An understanding, a realization of who I am and who the other person is in the relationship. And as you do that, and as you get to know one another and allow yourself to be known to the other, the relationship deepens into a more deep, intimate relationship, right? And intimacy deepens from the depth of our relationship with the other person, right? With the other person. So intimacy with God is a close personal relationship with God himself, with Jesus, to know who I am in him and who he is to me, which results in a strong desire to accept his love for me as we come to know and trust and obey him. Which means it's a relationship of more than just coming to church. Right? It's more than just reading our Bible and serving and doing good works. We're talking about a deep, close, personal, intentional relationship that deepens as we go deeper with him. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. So let me ask you the question again. How intimate are you with God? Now, when we talk about relationships, Most of our relationship in the world can be seen as a consumer relationship. And in a consumer relationship, we see ourselves as the consumer of a product or a service. We always seek to gain something from the relationship, that my needs, my wants are to be met. And this is more important than the relationship itself. This is a consumer relationship, right? I want something from the relationship. I must have these things for the relationship. Always asking the question, how can this relationship benefit me? What can I get from it? In a consumer relationship, we can start to bargain with the other person. I've done this for you. How about you give me, right? I scratch your back, you scratch my back. That's a consumer relationship. We will keep asking of the other that you keep providing so that my needs are met. And if it doesn't meet my needs, then I'm going to go and seek for something better, right? You look at all our mobile phone providers, they're advertising all the time. You're not satisfied with them, come with us. We've got the stuff for you. You're not going to have loose connections. Your data is not going to be taken away by hackers. We have security, all this. There's something better that we can always provide for you. And most of our relationships in the world is a consumer relationship. And if we are not careful, we can turn our relationship with Jesus into a consumer relationship. Since I've done this or that, Lord, provide me with. I've read my Bible today. Lord, provide. I've got this need. I've got that need. We'll keep asking of the other that you keep providing so that my needs are met. And we can come to Him in prayer, and we can see Jesus as a vending machine. I do my bit, so you provide. However, the relationship we have with Jesus is not a consumer relationship, but actually a covenant relationship. And a covenant relationship is a promise relationship of giving. Not out of compulsion or obligation, but one out of a willing heart, because you have a sacrificial love for the other. The greatest commandment in Matthew 22:37-39 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That in our relationship with God, we are called to give all of our heart, soul, and mind. The very essence of who we are, the whole being, the whole package, to God, give in love, and likewise give ourselves to the other. It's a very different view of a relationship. It's not about wanting and receiving. Yes, as the other gives in a covenant relationship, we willingly receive, but it's not a demand to give it to me. Being intimate with God means being able to share, to give, but also to be able to receive what is actually given to us. That is healthy. A whole range of thoughts, feelings, and experiences. God takes us from where we're at, and He will work in us. And as God takes us on this journey, on in this relationship, it involves us being open, talking through our thoughts and emotions, actually letting our guard down before God, being vulnerable in His presence, in love. So let's see how God takes us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him as we share our thoughts and our feelings, our experiences, and being vulnerable before Him. So we're going to go to Psalm 139. We're going to read verses 1 to 6. So if you've got your Bibles, and if you have your hard copy Bible, Psalm 139, let's find Psalm 139. I know it's going to be on the screen as well, but it's always good to open our Bibles when we come before our God's Word. Verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in before, behind, and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Amen. This is God's word for us today. You know, on the surface, it seems very scary. It's a scary thought that someone would know everything about me. All right? Just pause and think about it. That someone in this room knows everything about you. We just made eye contact, so you're sitting there, right? That there's someone, and that there is nothing hidden. Nothing hidden. He knows absolutely everything about you. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought. That everything about me is laid bare before our omniscient God. And the major theme of Psalm 139 is the word knowing. Knowing. That our God knows everything about us. It's the Hebrew word yada. Right? As a husband knows a wife, vice versa, it's a very deep understanding and knowing of the other person. And God knows all there is about the psalmist, right, David, but he also knows about us, inside and out. It's not what we just present on the surface. It's not just about presenting ourselves to the other person, but God actually knows our thoughts, our heart. He knows us inside and out. Church, let me encourage you. That might be scary, but it's actually comforting news. It's so good that God actually knows everything about us. And David wrote this psalm as a psalm of praise. It's actually a psalm of praise. It's like, God, you know everything about me. It's not God, you actually know everything. It's not hiding. It's the fact of actually praising God that you know everything about me. You know my fears. You know my challenges. But you still love me. It is comforting to know that our God knows everything about us. So we're going to unpack that. Why that is so comforting. It's such good news. All right. So let's have a look at the reason why being known by God is actually good news to us, and how this actually can draw us deeper into an intimate relationship with God. Firstly, knowing that our God is an omniscient God, someone who knows everything about everyone, a God who knows all things, creates a safe place for us. It actually creates a safe place for us. You might be going, doesn't seem safe when I'm with someone else and they know everything about it. Right? No, let's get to it. We can only feel and know that we are safe and secure in a relationship if we can only be ourselves. Those who are married, when your wife or husband knows everything about you, you feel safe and secure. You feel safe and secure because you don't have to hide behind the mask. You don't have to present a false you. you can be yourself. That I don't have to hide behind performance, or I don't have to market myself in a relationship or present myself to the others as someone who is acceptable, someone who has worth and value. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to work at it. Recall what Adam and Eve did after they sinned. They hid. They covered themselves and they hid. And that is the posture of a fallen humanity. We hide. And we try to present something else other than the true self. Remember, we're created in the image of who? Image of God. There's innate beauty, worth and value. So why we keep hiding it is the whole fallen humanity that forces us to keep hiding it. But the knowledge and the truth of what Jesus did for us, knowing that Jesus hung on the cross naked, bearing his all, that he was not hidden, but he was actually lifted up so that all people could see because of me, that all people could see. And as scripture says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If I truly believe that all of my shortcomings were settled at the cross, then there is no fear, but absolute confidence that I can be in his presence without any shame and judgment, because it already is public knowledge to God. He knows all of that, but he chooses to say yes to us. That creates a safe, secure place. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to put a false self of myself. God knows. God knows. But he says it's still okay. So what do we read in verse 1? You search me, Lord, and you know me. You already know me. You actually already know what I'm going to do, even without myself knowing. You know my heart's every desire, thoughts, my sins, yet in your great love you have accepted me, even though I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. You have forgiven me only because of your son's perfect sacrifice on the cross. And what does verse 6 say? Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't fathom it. It's too lofty for me to attain. It's way too great for us to fathom what this means, truly means for us. It is the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God on us. So let's just pause there, because I want us to really understand and grasp this truth. That when my sinful state is revealed to our Heavenly Father, we should have the confidence in that knowledge. Because what Jesus has done on the cross, I can approach him without any shame or judgment, because it's already done with. That creates a safe place. That creates a secure place. Does that make sense, church? You should have the security. If you don't have the security and you go, what if? Let's have a chat after the service. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've sought forgiveness of your sins, you should have peace and security and safety in what Christ has already done. Right? Don't believe the lies of the devil. That is settled. You can come into the presence of God and feel safe and secure. You should have that confidence. You have to have that confidence. And as we dwell in this intimate relationship with God, a safe and secure place, it fosters two important things for us. so that our relationship with God can grow, right? It can deepen. I just jumped the gun, right? The first thing that it fosters in our intimate relationship with God is growth. We grow. As we invest in our relationship with God in the safe, secure place, it fosters a deeper union with Him, and as we engage in Word and Spirit, we grow as we are led by God. We grow as our lives are transformed in the engagement with God. We grow as we are convicted of our sins. We grow as we are guided into all truth. There's so many lies in the world, but in our beautiful intimate relationship, God continues to bring the truth. We grow as we are empowered to proclaim the good news of Jesus to others. You can't hold it back. You want to be able to share this with others because it is so good, so good. Now, I know some of you did soul care yesterday. And those who have experienced freedom, you know exactly what I mean when you say you can't hold it back. You want to share. You want to share what Jesus has done for you. When we know how good Jesus is, as we grow in that relationship, as we go deeper and more intimate, you just want to share Jesus. All right? I mean, I know we don't do the lottery, right? I'm not condoning lottery, but if someone gave you $1 million, just say, you'll be going, dang, I want to share this news with someone. This is great news. Maybe for you, not for me, but maybe for you. If I'm a really good friend, maybe for me as well, right? Right? Consumer relationship, there might be some benefit, right? But if it's such great news, we will be prompted, we'll be so eager to share. And we grow as we're empowered to do that. We grow as we exercise the spiritual gifts that God gives us. In our relationship with Him, we'll come to know the spiritual gifts, so many gifts out there, that He has given to us. You know, hospitality, greeters, some of you are so welcoming. So much better than I am at greeting. We have so many different spiritual gifts. And we grow as we serve, building up and edifying the body for the kingdom of God. We grow. We grow as we are empowered to worship individually and corporately through every aspect of our lives. Right? Our life itself should be a worship to God, as Romans says, isn't it? You know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the young adults leading worship. It's going to be a corporate worship. I want to encourage all of us to go and have a night of praise and worship. Just to praise Him, just to love Him, just to give Him thanks. Or whatever God places your heart on the night, we're going to do that. Announcements will be coming up. We grow as we invest in our relationship with God, in and through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. I cannot stress that highly enough, right? I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. Good balance of Word and Spirit. We can't chase after the Spirit. We can't chase after the Word. We need Word and Spirit to grow up, right? Too much Word, you dry up. Too much Spirit, you blow up. Word and Spirit, you grow up, right? Good reminder for us. We want to grow up. We don't want to blow up and we don't want to dry up, but we actually want to grow up. Grow up in the likeness of Christ. Okay. So that we will not be shaken by the situation or the circumstance of our lives. That we may be going through tough times, struggles, uncertainty. Or we may face them in the future. We might be facing them now, but we might be facing them in the future. But no matter what, if you're in this deep, intimate relationship with our God, you're not going to be shaken. You are not going to be shaken. Because we know who is on the throne. Right? We know who is on the throne. And we know who has the final authority and power over all of our lives, all of creation. And that brings us security and safety. And we actually grow in that. So as we are known by God, and as we come to know God over time in our relationship with Him will deepen, and our foundation in Christ will be solid, and our faith and our walk with Him will actually grow. I pray that this truth will be yours today. Secondly, our intimate relationship with God fosters freedom. It actually fosters freedom. You think, well, actually, God knows everything about me. I feel kind of like, and even the scripture says, I feel like I'm hemmed in. You're before me, behind me, around me. Because we don't have to hide, and because He knows all about us, yet Jesus still chose us and chose to give us life, it actually sets us free. It sets us free from trying to earn our value, trying to earn our worth and acceptance in relationship. In the safe and secure place, we are free. First thing that we are free from is performance. That our value and worth is not dependent on our performance. That God doesn't love us more when we get things right, or He doesn't love us less when we make a mistake. Our salvation is not by works, it is by grace. It is by grace. It is a free gift from God for all who chooses to accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and choose to have an ongoing relationship with Him, right? You have to invest in this relationship. And in this intimate relationship with God, we choose to give our allegiance to Him. We choose to obey. We choose to give our life to Him because we love Him and the love that we already have received. Second thing that we are free from, we don't have to please God. We don't have to work to please God. Intimate relationship with God is not a consumer relationship. It is a covenant relationship, a relationship of promise. And hence our value and acceptance was settled by God at the cross. And what did He say? Scripture says that His wrath was satisfied. Our acceptance by God is not dependent on whether God likes me or not. He does. He does. He already does, and that is freeing. That is liberating. I don't have to get His approval. He is pleased because He sees His Son who is dwelling in me. He doesn't see my faults, my mistakes, my shame. He sees His Son in me, who dwells in me. And what does He say? He says exactly what He said in Luke chapter 3. You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Not my sinful nature, not my fallen, but He sees His Son in me. And He is already pleased. Doesn't mean we go on sinning, right? It doesn't mean we go on sinning in our freedom, right? Paul's made that pretty clear. If not, find the passage. I'll give a challenge. I'll find the passage where Paul says, no, because of grace, should we go on sinning? No, we don't sin that grace might increase. No, we do not. That is not investing in the relationship, but that is actually a consumer mindset. Since you already love me, oh, well, I'll go on singing and you'll keep on forgiving me. That's a consumer mindset, right? Jesus always reminded those who had been forgiven, go and sin no more, right? Go and sin no more. We are called to turn from those things and seek and pursue Jesus, right? Lastly, we are free from control. That our value and worth is not dependent on whether we are in control over every aspect of lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It frees us from controlling, trying to control my family, trying to control the workplace, trying to control everything in my life. And you start to try and control people, your relationships. Remember the saying, we are more sinful than we ever dared believe, but we are more loved and accepted in Christ than we ever dared to hope. Even though we might not have it all together, we are loved and accepted by God in Jesus Christ. And that more than we ever dare to hope. Church, do you believe this truth? Do you believe this truth that God, that we are accepted by God in and through Jesus Christ more than we ever dare to hope? Do we believe this truth? As we invest in our relationship with God and as we grow and deepen our relationship, we know who is in control. In the intimate relationship, as you go into it, as you go deeper and deeper, you actually come to realize who is in control. And that is good. That is good news. And that is reassuring, it's comforting, but mostly it is actually freeing. It actually frees you because I don't have to be God. Let God be God. But the only thing that we need to do is trust in the one who is God. Right? We just need to trust in him. So let the truth we find in Scripture and as we walk by the Spirit of God truly set us free in the intimate relationship that we can have with him. So let me conclude. I don't know where you're at on your faith journey or how intimate you are in your relationship with God, but my prayer for you, all of you, is that you may know the great love God has for you. May the knowledge of that truth truly set you free from performance, feeling inadequate, or trying to control. And trust in the one who was laid bare, who gave his life, the one who bore our shame. Look to him, seek him. Invest in a relationship with him because his arms are always open wide. His arms are always open wide for us to come into his warm, loving embrace. His wisdom in our relationship with him will lead and guide us into all goodness, even though it might go against every fiber of your being. He will lead and guide us into all goodness because he is good. So let me ask you this question, and I want to spend some time for all of us. I'm going to invite Aaron, please. How intimate are you with God? Where would you put yourself? If you're feeling like I'm just starting out, great. Let's ask God, take us deeper. If you feel like you're in a more of a deeper relationship, spend some time and soak in his presence. So let's spend some time with him now. How intimate are you with God, and how deep do you want to go with him? Let's spend some time and I'll pray and we'll close.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your Son. Thank you for the great love which was poured out on Calvary. That in and through his life, death, burial, resurrection, that whoever believes in the mighty name of Jesus would have everlasting life. That we'll be able to come and commune with our Heavenly Father. What a great privilege and honor it is to be able to be in your presence, Lord. There's nothing that I can present before our Heavenly Father than my sin. But he sees the one who dwells in us and welcomes us into his presence, to be loved by him, to be known by him, but more amazingly, that we get to know him. So God, we invite you to come afresh in our lives. We ask that you will help us each day to invest in our relationship with you. Help us to be more intentional in the way we interact with you. And it is a secure and safe place that we can be vulnerable before you. So help us to be seeking to be in your presence. And we pray whenever we open up our Bibles, may the truth of your word and power of your spirit draw us into a deeper relationship with you. Encourage and strengthen and transform us to go more deeper, more intimate with you. Lord, help us throughout this week as we do that, and for the rest of our lives as we wait for you, Lord, and as we live on this side of eternity. You have not left us as orphans. You have given us your Spirit, who will continue to take us deeper, deeper, more intimate with you. So we thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory and honor that you rightfully deserve. But most of all, Lord, we want to say we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.